Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. And pardon me. Black girls. Something just happened in the studio. That wasn't fair to you all. That Adara Ayer is in the studio here, and she said, am I supposed to stay? I said, well, you weren't scheduled to, but you can. And she said, well, what are we talking about? She just said, maybe left. Anyway, so, and Kalima Young is in the studio because she's going to remain with us here, but you're leaving for Annette, but you're staying for this. Mm-hmm. All right.
For a little bit.
Director of the Baltimore Art Plus Justice Project, part of the Office of Community Engagement at MICA. And last week I got an email from Imelda Decoteau. Did I say your name right?
Decoteau. Close.
Decoteau? Decoteau.
Yep. Very close.
I like it. Okay. Imelda Decoteau talking about this Black Girls Lives Matters movement and what's taking place this weekend. And then we connected and we said you have to get this on the air. And she joined us here on air. All along with her is Lenora Knowles, right?
Ebony Evans.
Ebony Evans. Why did you say? Oh.
Lenora Knowles, we're supposed to be called, or it's supposed to be calling in.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So it says Amorous Ebony, is that right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
It's my stage name.
Gotcha. Oh, and Lenora's on the phone. I'm sorry, I got all confused here. Lenora, welcome. Good to have you with us. Okay. So, first of all, let me turn to you, since you started this off with us, Imelda.
Sure. So we're here because we want to talk about the Black Women and Girls Lives Matter rally. That's going to be taking place on Saturday, June 20th. And the march is going to begin at 3:30. We'll be gathering at Cathedral and West Franklin Street. And then it's going to conclude at Natasha's Jubilee, which is at the lot across from 2011 North Charles Street. But essentially what we want to do is, you know, let folks know that Black women and Black girls are impacted by police violence. And we have to do that because we've got to expand the conversation and make sure that folks know this is not something that only affects Black men and Black boys.
So tell me, I think it's a very powerful and important thing to do because it gets left out of all these conversations all the time. So talk a bit about, I mean, what pushed you into this?
Yeah, so we think that there's just a huge comparative silence as it regards to Black men and also transgender women as well. No one talks about Maya Hall and the fact that even in her police report, they said things like transvestite, men dressed as women, drag queen, just completely disrespected and disregarded who she was. And we thought that it was just very important to have this rally to really just call in the love, honor, and peace and recognition of the many women, elders, as well as women who are pregnant and young girls who are very much affected by this as well.
Lenora?
Hi. Yes. So I think really seeing this this weekend as both a deconstructive and calling out structures of oppression and violence, and that violence isn't just police terror, but violence is poverty, violence is the welfare system, but also being able to kind of create a constructive space of healing and coming together and dialoguing and really using this as an opportunity to organize as Black women, knowing that we're Black women who are a part of a larger Black community, that we're Black women who are a part of a larger global community of working class people and oppressed peoples, and not really trying to connect our struggles, but starting from the particularities and the nuances of what it means to be a Black woman here in the United States of America in 2015, knowing that police terror and police violence were targets as well, whether we're old, young, trans, fat, skinny, mentally disabled, or mentally ill. But this is an issue that's affecting Black women across the board.
You know, I think it's important on a lot of levels here that this is coming out and that this is coming up this weekend. I was reading an article about Ella Baker, written by Barbara Ransom the other day, and I was thinking that throughout the movement, there have always been Black women voices and leadership and women
always.
In leadership of all these movements.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Totally,
very
but
true.
The image is always of men,
yes.
Not of Black women.
Right.
And again, when we see the images of what happens with police brutality, what happens in communities, people being harassed constantly and killed. And we had young women on the show, I'm pointing over here because they were sitting on where you two are sitting, that they were in this program, 16-year-old women talking about what they go through and the fears they had in the communities because of being stopped by police for no reason, just walking down the street.
Right.
But we never see those things as we always kind of focus on this. So I mean, this is, again, broadening this discussion, Kalima.
Right.
Awareness.
It really speaks to the fact that we are unable to see violence against Black women and able to read it. I think specifically about my initial reaction the first time I saw everything go down in McKinney.
Oh,
my
yeah.
first
oh,
yeah. interpretation was just like, oh my goodness, sexual violence. Oh my goodness. I could read it. But the fact that the larger narrative around that was not about that.
That's the first thing I thought too when I saw that happen. Yeah. I was just...
Yeah. And I think that speaks to our willful silence and our willful erasure of the way that violence manifests in the lives of Black women. Mm-hmm. State-sanctioned violence and violence perpetuated within the community and through poverty and racism.
Yes, domestic abuse and sexual assault, street harassment. These are all a part of that entire movement, Black Women and Girls' Lives Matter. And I think just as she said, there was not a protest or rally for Rekia mm-hmm. Boyd, mm-hmm. Natasha McKenna, Ayanna Stanley Jones, 7 years old.
Exactly.
There was not a protest. People are not outraged. But the minute a Black man gets killed, everyone is lighting up the streets and the police stations. It doesn't happen for women.
So let me pull back here. So let's talk about what you just said. Is I've heard you as Ebony?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that makes you sure I have it right. What Ebony, what you just said. I mean, what the root of that is, mm-hmm. and then how we address that, right? Because it's very real, mm-hmm. and it gets sloughed over all the time. So let's talk about the root and what we do to address it. Dara, I know you'll let you start out, then I'm going to go right over here to Imelda.
You know, we have adapted this culture of loving our sons mm-hmm. and raising our daughters, which means mm-hmm. that we have been erased and have allowed ourselves to be erased. And we, as women, have kept each other in line if we want to change those dynamics. We've done that as much as men have done. And we have all colluded in this thing we call structural and institutional racism mm-hmm. somehow being gendered.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
As if Black women and girls stand outside of it, as opposed to stand in the middle of it where Black men are. Mm-hmm. And we also take it upon ourselves as if part of our role is to not only bear that burden, but then also be whatever Black men need us to be mm-hmm. so
yes.
that we can help them mitigate the burden that they bear being in a white supremacist society. Mm-hmm.
Melda, what were you going to say?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I think also it goes into this myth of the Black superwoman. We're yes. strong. We can handle anything. And so because of that, we tend to erase our experiences, and our community erases our experiences as a consequence of that. One other thing I wanted to mention, too, was the Say Her Name report, I think, is such an important resource, mm-hmm. which was released on May 20th by the African American Policy Forum, the Center for Intersectionality and Social Policy Studies at Columbia, and Andrea Ritchie, who's a Soros Justice Fellow and expert on policing as it relates to women and LGBTQ people of color. It's a great resource because it really shows and breaks down the individual stories of Black women and girls and how we are impacted in the varied ways, you know, as it relates to sexual abuse, sexual assault, you know, and oftentimes, too, African-American women are collateral damage. You know, as it relates to raids on houses, all these things, there are various mm-hmm. ways that we're impacted.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious where you think we might think this movement is going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because how do I put this? That when the latest demonstration took place
mm-hmm.
in Baltimore, the uprising mm-hmm. took place in Baltimore, women were at the forefront of that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But their voices were not at the forefront in terms of the media. Mm-hmm. But they were at the forefront of that. And at the same time, what you have to do, it seems to me here, Ebony, then we'll go to Lenora, mm-hmm. is this is not spontaneous. You have to organize this.
Exactly.
You have to push it to make
exactly.
it happen, right?
We have to push it to make it happen, and we have to be very strategic in every single part of the organization. We can't just flat out say we want to do something and there's no structure, because people will laugh, it'll crumble, and it won't last. This is not a moment, but it's a movement. And people need to realize that.
Lenore, were you about to say something? I'm going to go over to Kaleem after that.
Definitely. I was just going to say that I think it's going to be a challenge within the Black community to push and to clear a space for Black women's stories and leaderships and voices, but also within a larger mainstream conversation on what does state violence look like. That we need to really be able to name that, and like, what is the problem, and who's really being impacted, and putting faces and stories and names out there. but also being able to begin to organize. So this isn't just a one-time event where it's kind of like, oh, that was a beautiful event, but really, really bringing people together in dialogue and really, as Black women, prioritizing our stories and in this at this moment and saying like our lives matter and our stories matter and our healing matters and we can heal ourselves and we can heal each other and our community. Imelda and I were talking about this morning that Black women are oftentimes the backbone of the community and our voices and our stories are silenced, but we do all this work, whether it's in movement building, whether it's in the Black community in Baltimore, whether it's in our families, and really being able to prioritize that leadership. And not saying that Black men and boys don't matter.
Exactly.
It's more
how do we create a more holistic and fuller understanding of the problems and the structures and systems of violence that we're up against so that no one is left out, that everyone is at the table, that we can really come together and really connect in new and creative ways. And I think that's what this weekend is about connecting and dialoguing in new and creative ways, in a way that isn't cheap or easy, or because it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be beautiful as well.
And I think, go ahead, Kalima.
Oh, no, I'm just co-signing on everyone's assessment. You know, we've been saying this for a long time through multiple movements from Ida B. Wells onward.
Yeah.
And especially
just thinking about her as you were before you spoke.
Right. And especially well articulated in the Black feminist movement in the 1970s and 80s. The liberation of Black women means liberation for all. If you can get to the root of these things, if you liberate Black women, you get at anti-Blackness, you get at sexism, you get at a myriad and host of items. And the fact that we don't acknowledge that in our struggle with some of these movements, that's problematic. Mm-hmm. But women who have been doing this work for a long time have been saying it a long time.
And it has to be taken out of the shadows. By that I mean, even in the uprising that took place, even though whenever you're out in the street, Black women were at the foreground, the front of the marches and of maintaining the peace and confronting the police all at the same time, that it was not seen. So the issue has to be forced if it's going to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's what we're saying here.
Exactly.
But let me go to the phone to get a call here at 410-319-8888. Robert, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Robert.
Okay. First of all, I'm getting ready to run. I want to find out right quickly now the Black Women's Lives Matter thing. When and where is this happening this weekend?
Okay, let's do that one more time.
So it's happening June 20th, which is a Saturday at 3:30 at Cathedral and West Franklin Street. And then on the 21st of June, which is that Sunday, it's going to be a day of healing filled with meditation, yoga, music, food. The number to call for more information is 443-642-8181. You can also email at BaltimoreSayHerName@gmail.com.
And I also just want to say that at 5:30 after the rally, we'll be gathering for a community celebration for Natasha's Jubilee. So the march is first, and then we'll be meeting up at 20th and Charles Street later on in the afternoon on Saturday, and then meeting up again there on Sunday.
So, you know, as as soon as you wrote to me, Imelda, and
Decoteau. You're close. Don't worry.
The question is how we in the media and how this program or the programs around here begin to change that, be part of the change, I should say. Be part of changing that and the voices. I mean, it's like when I think of you all sitting in the studio now and Lenora on the phone, is that your voices can't just be heard when you talk about Girls' Lives Matter.
True.
Right? I mean, that's part of it, is the discussion of leadership has to be broadened in public constantly for people to begin to think in different ways and be able to be aware of what's happening around us.
Mm-hmm. And this is where I think that we need male allies, because during the uprising, there was a very strategic plan for white people not to speak with the media, but to point out the reporters to the other black leaders who were there. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a plan as strategic, not just for Girls Lives Matter, but in any movement for black men and other men involved to say, you know what, this is our leadership team. This is our media team. For us to be as strategic as bringing those voices to the fore. A long time ago, Mark, I had an opportunity to do leadership training with African leaders who came to this country from different countries. When we were talking, one thing they said to me was, don't do what we did. What we did was we said we're going to fight against oppression. We never talked about women's rights. Mm-hmm. And so when freedom came, our rights still remained the same. In your movement, talk about women and girls too. And this was like 20 years ago, and we still have not done that. We're still struggling to do that.
It's been hundreds of years.
Yeah, really.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of years. So tell me who you expect to be coming out before we have to go to break, and what do you expect to be happening on Monday, Saturday and Sunday?
So we have been promoting, and we are very excited to also invite black women vendors only to the event to be able to share their business and to also get the information out about what they do as it relates to healing. We also have black women storytellers coming through. We also have a space for children. We're going to have arts and crafts and everything. So we're really expecting that just entire community to come through. We know that there are a lot of people who are in recovery that are in that Charles Street area. We also know that there are a lot of homeless people. We know that there are a lot of senior citizens as well as transgenders. So we are inviting everyone in that area to come out, as well as people who will be commuting from
other areas.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So did you two, you the two of you on Lenora, did you organize this in Baltimore? Are you the organizers?
We are a few of the organizers.
Some of, yeah. A whole lot of us.
Some
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
So,
shout out to Sarah and Lene as well, and other black women.
So how did you come together on this? That's what I wanted. What's the root of this for you, for the three of you?
Well, for me, the root of it personally is, as a fairly new mom, I look at my daughter, and I want her to have a different kind of world than I see. And so if I want her world to be different, then I have to do something to make it different. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's really personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's personal for me as well. I think it's very important to, as a black woman, to not disregard or try to silence any movement. I'm with every movement that is out to advance and strengthen the black community, period. Period. And that, and I'm coming from every spectrum you could be looking at it from. You know, I mean, the gay community, the transgender community, the lesbian community, asexual, intersexual, men, women, children, girl, everybody. I think it's just important as a black woman that I make it known that I'm about black liberation, period. Mm-hmm. But black liberation is not one side. It is not just about black mm-hmm. men advancing. Mm-hmm. There's a big power struggle. There's this big inferior complex that if women get in front, men are going to be looked at as chumps. Mm-hmm. And it's not about that. I can be assertive and you can respect me and I can respect you. It's not a power struggle. Let's do this thing together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Lenora, your closing thoughts on and why you jumped into this.
I really value a movement of poor people and black people, and I think my involvement in this really comes out of a love for black people and my commitment to critical thinking and critical action in social movement building. But I think particularly around this event, Lene and some other women at the People's Power Assembly and myself and friends of Lene and who's on the call right now or the show right now, just kind of voicing our frustrations with a lot of, I mean, while black women were integral to the work that was happening in Baltimore and across the country, there was still a lot of silencing going on. And there was still a lot of male chauvinism within the black community that was frustrating for us. And so I think just being like, we need to push this Black Lives Matter conversation in Baltimore a little bit further and really provide a space for black women to come, black women girls to come as black women and girls and really think through and wrestle with what does black liberation look like? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be liberated as poor people? How do we do this together? And how do we call for a larger universal movement for freedom and liberation of all people across the board, but really starting from our own social mm-hmm. location and social orientation as black women who carry multiple identities and really connect our struggles.
And Clea, let me just, again, clean up better.
What was that?
You know, clean up better, you'll last it back.
No, good Lord. Really? Yes.
I'm at the scratch line. I'm there. We all have work to do. Yes. And our struggles look different. I will use an analogy a friend of mine said that's sort of about faith, about different ways of having faith. She's just like, her phrase was, God is a light. And he shines in a tunnel, in a cathedral with multiple windows, and his light shines out of all of them. That was her way of sort of talking about her Beautiful. Faith. Mm-hmm. And I like to have that analogy as I think about social justice movements as well, that we all have a particular thread, a thread for equality and social justice, for leveling the playing field, for getting at the root of things. The way it looks, the lenses might be different, the stained glass might come out, there might be lots of rainbows. Hey, I'm queer, that's what happens. Lots of rainbows coming out of certain people's stained glasses and different things come out of the other. But it's all about addressing inequalities and getting to the root of it. And if we can all keep that in mind, that's right. then we can have an yeah. allied movement that exactly. gets to inequality. Yeah.
So this is Rakia's Rally. Is that what we're
calling?
Yes. Rakia's Rally, Saturday, 3 p.m. at Cathedral in Franklin, be followed by Natasha's Jubilee at Charles and 20th Streets at 5:30. Mm-hmm. Then Sunday, there's a Solidarity Through Spirituality outdoor celebration from 2 to 6 at the empty lot at Charles and 20th.
Yes. Yep.
Girls' Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking more about this in the coming weeks and months. And looking forward to bringing these women in these conversations about many things to be part of a conversation about what we do next as a society. Mm-hmm. It's been great to meet you all. Let me see if I'll do this right this time. Imelda de Catu?
You got it.
All right.
All right now.
Lenora Knowles, Amherst Ebony, organizers of the Black Women, Girl Lives Matters events this weekend. Clem Young stayed with us, as did Adar Ayira. For this segment. Thank you all so much.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you. We're going to break with Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan, recorded on this day in 1965. When we return, we're going to remember Ornette Coleman. Stay with us.